Welcome to the Brave Women at Work podcast. This is your host, Jen Pastikas. I'm so glad you're here. With the Brave Women at Work podcast, you'll get the resources and tips along with the real-world stories and humor to empower and inspire you to take bolder and braver action in your career and life. Welcome to the Brave Women at Work podcast. This is your host, Jen Pastikas. I'm so glad you're here. Well, hey, everyone, how are you doing out there? I have to tell you, I am so excited about my guest today. I'm sure that'll come through in today's show. My guest's name today is Heather Eck. She is a synesthesia artist and color alchemist. So you might be wondering what all those titles mean, and we will go through that thoroughly today during the show. And while I love me talking about some business things like negotiation, building confidence, leadership and executive presence, and so much more. I also love kind of foraying and kind of diving into the spiritual and non-business topics like chakras, the Enneagram, and now, drumroll please, color and how they actually impact us, not only professionally, but also personally. So talking about color, let's start with the question of who knew that color could be so healing? It could be used as a healing tool. I knew that color could have an impact on our moods, for example, like if you wear pink or blue or black or white, and we talk about that, Heather and I, but we dive so much deeper into the world of color and how it is a tool that can be used for all types of healing, environmental healing, world healing, career healing, personal healing. So just looking at color with a much wider lens is what we do today on the show. So during my chat with Heather, we discuss her journey from being an HR manager to a synesthesia artist and backing up what synesthesia even means. And my understanding of it, just as a spoiler here, is that it's when you see or have senses that kind of mix and combine. And so Heather's going to share her gift with synesthesia with us, how Heather helps women go from stuck to intention through her work, what a spirit portrait is and how the process works. And you're going to hear how excited I get once Heather talks about spirit portraits, because I was just like, wow, this is so up my alley. She talks about her gift and what certain color means. So I'll ask her, okay, well, why, if we wear black, what does that mean? If we wear white, what does that mean? She was wearing green. You couldn't see it because I do audio only on the show, but she was wearing green and she shares what that means, etc. And then I asked her, I'm like, hey, what color do you see for me? And she shares what color she sees around me. And then I decide that I'm going to get a spirit portrait, and I will definitely be sharing that in social media so you can see the creation that Heather has made for me once it's done and in my office. So here is more about Heather Eck. Synesthesia artist and color alchemist Heather Eck brings extraordinary color insights, perspectives, and wisdom to audiences through her unique approach to perceiving, creating, and healing through her artwork. Her background as an HR manager and certified authentic leadership coach, ACC, combined with her unique gift of synesthesia, gives her a special skill to communicate in simple terms the hidden dynamics and solutions to everyday challenges through clairsentience, intuition, and color reading. As an expert on color, chakras, spirituality, and energy healing, she will share with us all the tips and tools to uplift and inspire your heart and mind. Heather is a renowned and award-winning artist, intuitive thought leader, spiritual intuitive healer, passionate coach, and facilitator. Her work has been exhibited in more than 25 shows so far, and she offers an inspiring perspective on connecting through color, symbolism, and form. Her Instagram channel, which I highly recommend you go check out her Instagram because it shows all of the artwork she's creating, and it's just a beautiful page. It has over 4,000 followers and growing, and she mentors hundreds of color lovers and students worldwide in her private Facebook group called The Color Club, which I also joined. Her original art, spirit portraits, art retreats, and courses are available on her websites. So before we get started, if you're enjoying Brave Women at Work, please make sure to leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So here's a recent review. So must listen for all women and all the exclamation points. So thank you so much for that. You're emphatic. So must listen for all women, such a great resource for all working women. Jen provides both great solo and guest episodes, providing advice, tips, resources, and real life stories that all women can relate to. A must listen for sure. So thank you so much. G. Vandergrift is the name that was on that message. So thank you so much. So if the show has made an impact on you, please share it with a friend or a colleague. And your ratings and reviews, as you know, help the show continue to gain traction and grow. So thank you again. Finally, if you haven't yet downloaded my freebies from my website, check them out at bravewomenatwork.com. So I've created three for you: 24 career and leadership affirmations, 5 ways to manage your imposter syndrome, and one of our most popular, getting paid 10 negotiation tips. So these are workbook style guides, so you can complete them at your own time. And again, what better? They are free. So go and get them at bravewomenatwork.com. Okay, let's welcome Heather to the show. Hello, Heather. Welcome to Brave Women at Work. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to meet you.
Oh, likewise. Like we were saying before we got on live or on air rather, that I am super pumped about this topic. We've never talked about color and the use of color for healing on the show. And so I'm just so pumped to dive in. So why don't you tell us, Heather, about your background story and how you've gotten to this moment?
Sure. Yeah. Right now, I'm a visual artist based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And about 5 years ago, I left my full-time career as an HR manager for a video game company to do my art full-time. I was just telling somebody earlier today that I had always wanted to do art when I was a little kid. Art was something that was always part of my vocabulary. It was something that I enjoyed. But then as you get older, you listen to people who say, you're never going to make any money doing that. Mm-hmm. And I actually remember a conversation with my dad where he said, you'd be good at human resources. You should check that out. And I guess it just burrowed in my brain. And I set about on the path of human resources and did that for about 17 years.
Wow. Okay. So I have to say, was art like always like gnawing in the back, right? Kind of always, or was it always just like a side thing? And how did it all pop through? Because I have had HR as a department at one point. I just interviewed someone and we talked about HR personnel, especially now, always, but especially now, so much respect for HR people. It is such a hard job, hard piece of the business that is underglorified. But I got to tell you, Heather, like HR to art is like a pretty big leap to me. So tell me about what was happening in like your mind and body, like spirit, emotionally, like with art while you were in the HR world.
Yeah. So I think that's so true. HR is a really difficult space, I think, especially today. Throughout my career, I've gone away from HR and done a couple of different things. I've done banking. I've done consulting. I worked at a branch of a bank at one point in New York. And wow. Then I swung back into HR after that. I connected all the dots and said, oh, I should do HR now, and was able to kind of lift everything that I had done in my past and apply it to campus recruiting and leading a management development program. And along the way, I think that I could probably list off 20 certifications that I had gotten in all these different areas. Yeah. And I think I had dabbled in all these little creative aspects of redoing rooms in our house or changing the color of our bedroom set or painting wine glasses to sell on Etsy and doing,
oh, wow,
you name it, I've done it.
Yeah.
And I was seeking something. I was really looking for something that was going to make me feel spiritually, emotionally fulfilled. And it wasn't coming through the day-to-day work. And we had moved from New Jersey to North Carolina. I met and started working with a spiritual teacher, and she knew I was unhappy in my job. And it was like the foundation of my life. It was like, I just am not happy. And this doesn't make me feel good. And I'm so stressed. And it was great money, right? Great benefits, great yep. money. It was the golden handcuffs. But every day I would have to listen to music on my way in to pump myself up to go in.
Yeah.
Because I just felt so depleted. And she and I talked and she said, what did you like when you were a kid? Because she told us a while ago that your gifts show up when you're young, that when you're a kid, you have these curiosities and these ideas. And a lot of times that's our spirit kind of showing us which way to go. And art was always there for me. Art was it. And she said, your gift is creative expression. And it was like a light bulb went off because I said, oh my gosh. like hindsight's 2020. So you look back and you go, oh, it was there. I got it.
Okay. So did you have any emotions that popped up, or you were frustrated with yourself that you went 17 years and meandered through? Or was there just a lot of compassion going, you know what? It is what it is. And I'm still here today.
That's a really good question. I think I did beat myself up a little bit. And I think I was frustrated and angry that I had listened to other people instead of listening to myself. I internalized those ideas of not being able to make money from a creative pursuit, or not feeling like I had the support to go into something that I was actually really good at, and instead went in an entirely different direction. And so I think for a little while, I felt really angry about that. And then as I started to allow art to come in and I started to make time for this creative habit or hobby or this pursuit, then it was like I was letting out steam a little bit at a time. And I was feeling a collective, like the relief of being able to accept this creative side of myself and then to move in the direction of trying to figure out what was there for me. And so it took a little while. It took a couple of years for me to build the space to let that back in.
It's really cool, though, like thinking about that, allowing that piece of you that maybe you abandoned, or you were, it was more than wine glasses and Etsy. And anyone who paints like wine glasses and Etsy, go with yourself if that's your thing. But for you, it just wasn't enough. It wasn't like that percentage. It needed to be more of the percentage of your life. It needed to be 80, 90, whatever percent of your life. And it's really interesting. Like it's a process to allow that piece of ourselves back in and to welcome it and almost have a relationship with that part of ourselves.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was like reconnecting to an aspect of myself that I had really tucked away. And it was knocking at the door a little bit at a time. Like, hey, have you ever thought about doing just all these little creative ideas that I would have that I'd be like, no, I don't have time for that, or I'll do that later. And it was just gently knocking the whole time.
Yeah. So was there a moment, we've talked about like my burnout story. We talk a lot about burnout and like that critical moment here at Brave Women at Work. So was there a burnout moment? Was there a bottom? What was that moment where you're like, nope, like I'm leaving HR. And I know that you're a leadership coach. So I don't know. I was in my mind, I was making up this story about your trajectory. It was like, okay, you were in HR. And then you were like, okay, I'm going to become a leadership coach. Was like your path out, or was it like really radical? So tell us about that moment where everything shifted.
Yeah, it was one of those ideas in my mind where when I got brave enough to say, I want to leave this, where I thought I will set the timeline where I'll go in and tell my boss I'm going to resign, and I'll tell him that I'll work out the next 6 months or whatever. And I had pursued coaching as a means to get me out of there. But it was only, again, it was another thing that I was searching for that wasn't the right answer.
No.
It was kind of part of it.
Okay.
I had hit that point where my husband was like, what retreat can we send you to? Like, where can we send you for a week? I'm gonna make you
Let's
feel
heal
better.
You so you can come back and be better and feel better and stop annoying me.
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, it was like that saying, we make plans and God laughs.
Yes.
It was like, I think I had been home with my son. He was sick or something. I hopped on a conference call with my boss at the time, and he said something, and it was like the flip, you know, the switch flipped.
Yeah.
And I went, that's enough. That's
oh,
enough.
Wow.
That's enough. And I went into my husband. It was 2 weeks before my 40th birthday. And I said, oh, or my 39th birthday, actually. And I said, it's time for me to leave. And he was like, okay. And said, and I'm going to do it. And he was like, okay. And it was one of those moments where I thought, he's going to ask me to move out. Like, he's going to be like, what is going on with you? But I honestly, at that time, I was like, if I don't leave now, I'm not going to survive it. I just didn't feel like my body, my mind, or my spirit was going to be able to withstand any more of the pressure or the stress, or just even the anxiety that I was piling onto myself from staying. And so I went in on Monday morning and I sat down and I said, I'm going to give you my 2 weeks notice, but I plan to work out. And when I said, but I plan, he said, okay, then you're done. And then walked me down the hallway to tell my team that I had resigned. So I made the plan to stay through the end of the year. And God laughed at that and said, we think you're done now. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, oh, all right.
Oh, wow. So you offered to work for a few, was it a few months out?
It was like a couple months from September until the end of the year I had planned to stay. And
wow, that's unique too, and must have been meant to be, because most bosses, unless, and I mean, we don't need to go down that rabbit hole, it's very odd or unique that he or she was like, okay, today's the day and let's do the 2 weeks. Like most of them are like, don't leave.
It was one of those moments where then I sat back and went, oh my God, what did I just do? Because then it wasn't.
Oh, remorse.
Right. I just thought, here we go. Felt like a cliff dive. And I was like, I really hope the net is down there to catch me, because I just flung myself off of this cliff. I didn't have anything planned except for my artwork.
Wow. And you know what? I'm also thinking that there probably were inklings along the way that maybe your boss was doing a gift to you or giving you a gift because he or she probably knew there was something else there. Do you think that's true?
I do. I do. Yeah. I think that was a blessing too. I think had I stayed, I probably never would have left. I would have just gotten talked into staying for a little while longer, or finishing out this project or doing something. And I just think I would have been there still today, probably.
Yeah. So I have to ask before we move on and really dive into your work, which is fascinating, is after you made the leap, was there like a group of people, like your husband, maybe family, friends that were so on board, so supportive? And then were there some people that like looked at you and go, Heather, are you crazy? Did you have a little bit of both?
Yeah, it was definitely it was a healthy blend of both. I think my spiritual community were all there going, oh my gosh, you did it. Good job. We're so proud of you. And we always tease each other. If you are not standing there with, I think Yanla Van Zandt says, if you don't have a little pee running down your leg, then you're not doing it right. So
I love that. I'm serious. That's so awesome. That's so funny.
So that's how I felt. I was like, oh my God, I've got pee running down my leg. What did I just do? And they were like, we've got you. We keep going. And then there were other people who were like, oh, great. So what are you going to do? Where are you going to go now? What HR job are you going to get? And I was like, oh, I don't want to do another HR job. I want to stay the course this way. I have to give this a try, right? I've got to put some effort into doing something that my spirit wants to do. And so it's a mix of both. And honestly, it still is. I think some people still look at me and go, keep going.
They just don't understand it. They don't understand what you're doing. Okay. So let's have you at least introduce. Let's start here. So your specialization, as I was reading through your website and doing kind of a deep dive on all of your work, is in color and its power to heal. So can you explain a little bit more about your work?
So I am an intuitive painter, which means a lot of times when I sit down to paint, I don't really have an idea about what it is that it's going to look like at the end. I allow my conversation with God and my intuition to guide that process. And what I recently discovered is not that I have synesthesia. I knew that there was something different about the way that I saw the world or heard music or smelled something, but I didn't really have the vocabulary for it. And so I would say I see color around people, or I see color in spaces. And what I'm taking in is where that person or that space dwells. And I associate the color that I see with the chakra system. So if I see someone and I'll say, the color I see for you is blue, the shade of blue will tell me where you dwell in your throat chakra, because blue is associated with the throat. So when I make a painting for someone specifically, I will say, you dwell here in your throat, and that could mean this. And then the painting that I'm going to do for you also offers a prescriptive color that will help uplift and inspire you to be intentional about how you want to show up in the world, or how you want to be seen, or how you can use this color to heal. So I have a mix of what I'd call a spirit portrait for someone, or a blessing portrait, which is to offer them healing through what comes through my intuition or the color that I see. And then I also have abstract paintings that are largely influenced by spirituality, where I'll say this color is connected to our sense of communion with God, or this color is intended to help make you feel more of the divine feminine. So I'll create paintings that have a deeper meaning to them than just the color that you see, or just the like a representational portrait, if that makes sense.
Okay. So just backing up, and I may butcher this word, everybody, so give me grace. So synesthesia, correct? Is that how you say it? Okay.
That's right.
Okay, I did it. Whew. Okay. Okay. I may not repeat that again.
You're fine.
So is that the gift, seeing color for people or color for environments? Is that what that means?
Yeah. So synesthesia basically means crossed senses. It means, and there are, I think, more than 80 forms of synesthesia, and only about 4% of our population have it. It's basically like if you were to think about the days of the week. Some people see the days of the week as just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but some people see it as color. Like for me, Monday is red. So I see Monday as the color red. Or if I smell something, I'll go, oh, this smells lavender. Even if it'll in my mind appear to me as a color. Or music, for instance, I'll see it as a shape, or I'll see it as colors converging. And so when somebody has that synesthesia, their brain just flips their senses or crosses their senses in the way that they take in information.
Okay. So with this whole color thing, this gift, so if someone likes a certain color, does that mean that's their color? You know what I mean? So like, I'll tell you a color that I've been gravitating towards probably for the last 3 years, right?
Yeah.
I love the color turquoise and teal. Okay. So does that mean that my intuition is telling me like, that's probably one of my primary colors, or not necessarily?
So there's a little bit of a difference between an aura color or the color that I see for someone. And when you are drawn to a color, that color is offering you something. It's ministering to you in a way. Mm-hmm. So if you said you've been drawn to that color now for about 3 years,
yeah,
that color, teal or turquoise, to me is all about the divine feminine. It is a blend between the heart and the throat colors, the green and blue. And so it's a very nurturing color. It's a very like motherly color. And so I would ask you to think about what has been going on in your life over the course of this 3 years that's made you want to either step into your divine femininity more, or to take on more of a nurturing, mothering role, or to just have a bit more of this sense of unconditional love and acceptance for yourself and other people. And,
wow.
And so that color is helping you with that intention, if that makes sense.
Totally. So what that means is if someone listening is, they're drawn to pink, or they're drawn to magenta, or they're whatever, and there's so many beautiful colors, right, in the rainbow and beyond, that it's ministering to you. So we need to pay attention to like our favorite colors, or colors we're drawn to, or colors we pick in our homes, things like that.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to describe it. That color is showing up for you because it's communicating something to you. And when you can start to, number one, it's awesome that you noticed that's the color that you're drawn to, because sometimes people don't even pay attention. And they're like, why do I have a closet full of yellow? What does that mean? So that's really great but it's telling you something.
And just so I'm clear, so if someone's really attracted to black or white, are there any meanings to that? Because women can often be like, oh, I wear all black, or I like the color black, or you'll see the opposite, I like white. I know that, and you would have to tell me, I know that one is the absence of color. I think that might be either one. It doesn't have like pigment to it, right? So
yeah.
Tell me about what that might mean if someone's super attracted to white or black.
Yeah. So black is not a bad color in any way, shape, or form, but black is a color of mystery. It's a color of sophistication, and it's also one of protection. And so if you're someone who's wearing a lot of black, I would challenge you to look at maybe why, because it could mean that you're trying to make yourself appear smaller, or to blend in, to not stand out in a crowd, or there's some aspect of your energy that you're protecting and trying to enclose. And so when you wear a lot of black, it can make your energy levels feel lower. And it can sometimes put you into different states of feeling low, or finding yourself feeling depressed, or having a lot of low energy. But black, again, is a color of mystery and sophistication. So you can use it in some mm-hmm. really powerful ways. But if you find that you're wearing it all the time, then I would say you have to look at what's happening in your life that you're trying to protect or keep yourself mm-hmm. enclosed a bit more. And then with white is a color of purity. It's a color of connection. That's the color of our crown chakras, which helps us open up to receive information and connect with the divine or God source energy. It's a color of spirituality. And so if you're wearing all white, it's probably that you're trying to find some connection to yourself. You're looking for something that lifts your spirit, and that you're also trying to convey to people that you live in a pure space, or that you're trying to be in a, like a holy space, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally makes sense. So you've mentioned just briefly on how you help women, and I think it's all people. But one of the things I wanted to ask you is, it's on your site. It says, I can help people go from stuck to intentional. How do you do that?
Yeah. So for example, I met someone at an art class the other day, and she asked me, what color do you see for me? And I said, I see blue for you. And she was wearing head to toe black. I said, so I see blue for you. That means you might dwell in your throat. That means that you might have trouble communicating or trying to express something that's happening in your life, or you're trying to find a way to be more open about who you are, but you're also wearing a lot of black. So what that's telling me is that you're protecting yourself somehow. And she said, that's really funny because I'm in a lot of pain today. I have a back problem. And also I had throat surgery a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And so she said, what can I do? And I said, what are you trying to? And she said, I want to make more art. And she was at my art class. And I said, okay, awesome. What I would challenge you to do is to work with the color that supports your creativity. And that's the color orange. So you could smell essential oils that are scented like orange, or you could wear more orange, or just surround yourself with that color, because that helps you tap into your sense of creativity, how you express yourself, how you connect to people, and how you see yourself in relationship to others. And so that color is going to be a bit more receptive to you, or that color will help you express yourself a bit more. And so I think when we know where we're currently sitting or what we're protecting ourselves from, we can be intentional about how to use color to cultivate or manifest or invite more of what that color offers into our lives.
So cool. Okay, so I have to ask, what color do you see for me, even though we're not on video?
When I first looked at you, I saw pink for you. And pink is the color of the heart. It is one of the two colors of the heart. I'm wearing green today.
Yes.
And green is the color of the heart as well. So when we wear green, or we invite green into our lives, it's because we're supporting our sense of self-love and compassion and acceptance. So when I see pink for someone, that shows me that you might be in a space where you're really looking for love from the universe, or you're in this place where you're looking for a higher love, or to just feel supported from a higher level of love through abundance, through information, through compassion, or just through connecting to people and inviting them to see you with unconditional love in the same way that you want to see them. Just and love them for exactly who they are.
Oh, I like that. I like that. That's part of this podcast, right? So that's why we're here. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally true. So with the pink, just so I'm clear, when you see shades of pink or green or blue or any of the colors, do you go down to a specific level when you work with people to say light pink, dark green, so that they're very specific on what they should be looking for?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the ways that my gift sort of operates is my friend describes it as like the 64 box of crayons, uh-huh. All the different shades. I categorize through what shade is it and what does that mean? So like a light pink might be that you're underusing your heart, or that it lacks more of that rich color that we're looking for in the heart chakra. We want it to be a bright, vibrant pink. Or like a deeper, almost like a muddier pink might be that you feel that there's a lack of love somewhere in your life. So I will try to find what is the specific shade of pink, and then figure out what might that mean for you. And then how can you use not the opposite color, but the complementary color to help support that?
Oh, so good. Okay. So I'm going to jump ahead here. And like with the spirit portrait, you touched on that. And I wanted to go deep in, because that's what it sounds like you're doing, right? So you like talk to a person, you're seeing colors, you're pulling out like the mental box of crayons, and you see the shade for them. And then are you like divinely inspired, then go, okay, what would be the healing colors or the complements to that shade? Is that how the spirit portrait forms? Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that's great. So I will ask for a picture of the person so that I can look in what color do I see for them. And then before I sit down to do the portrait, I'll pray about it. I'll ask for divine guidance to come in and help make sure that I'm doing their portrait from the cleanest and clearest energy with the highest and best intention for someone. And I'll put on music. Oftentimes the music that I hear will give me insight or will offer me something for the person. And I keep a little sheet of pink parchment paper next to my work desk so I can write down any messages or colors or words that come through or shapes that I see. Because when the portrait starts, everything that happens while I'm doing the portrait is part of that spirit portrait session. So the way that the ink hits the paper, the shapes that start to take place, I'm noticing and writing down because there's symbolism in it, or there's a message in whatever comes through on the paper or the canvas for me that then I can interpret and then offer when I do a Zoom session with the client to say, here's your painting. Here's the color that I saw, and here are the messages that I received for you. And then it's, I wouldn't call it a coaching session, but it really does become like this intimate conversation about, does this make sense to you? And in what way do you feel like this is supporting you or helping you? And then what questions do you have for me about it? So it ends up being this nice 30-minute conversation with someone where we talk about not just the color, but then the other things that intuitively came through to me while I was working.
So that's also fascinating because I thought you did the Zoom first and then you went and did your work. No, you just get the photo of the person. You're not even hearing, like, this is an anomaly, like where we're talking. And P.S. everybody, I'm going to get a spirit portrait because I have empty walls in my office space and it's happening. I'm really excited. And you know what? I will send a picture of it, like in social media, and report back to everybody because I think it's super fun.
I love that.
You don't talk to the person first. You actually just get that photo and you're taking those spiritual messages and those vibrations off that photo. And then you talk to the person for confirmation and for this is where your coaching comes in and stuff like that.
That's exactly right. Yep. I really like to only have the photo so that as I meditate on their image, I'm meeting them for the first time. So a lot of it is based off what are my first impressions of the person and what are the colors that instantly drop in because I want to work from the space of intuition, not from a space of already knowing, if that makes sense. And so I want to make sure that I'm going with my first gut because otherwise, if I try to get in there and turn it into something, I'll mess it up. It has to be like what comes through first. It, without me getting in the way and letting my ego go, I want it to look this way. But I really try to let it just be whatever it is without trying to control it. And the instant that I try to control it, then it never works out. I end up having to throw it away and start over.
So how do you know if you've quote unquote messed it up? Because it sounds like you've had this experience where you've let ego or mind or whatever come in, which I think we're not all intuitive artists like you are, but I think this is a huge lesson for all of us. Like I'm connecting the dots. So we're talking about artistry, but it could be anything, right? It could be your work, it could be a project. Like we're really talking about trusting the intuition and not over engineering it, overworking it, overthinking it. So how do you know? Do you get any like sensations in your body or like a gut feeling? You're like, I've overworked this and this is trash. I got to start over.
Yeah, there have been instances where I'll start a painting and I'll go, this is really, I'll judge it, right? I'll go, this is really ugly. I really don't like this. And I'll set it aside and do another one. And then I'll take a step back and go, but everything that comes through is intentional. So what is this piece about? And so sometimes for someone, I will say, I did your painting. And the first time I did your painting, here's what came through. And I want to show it to you. And I'm going to tell you what I received. And you tell me if it connects or not. And then oftentimes I'll go, no, that was exactly right. And so I'll end up giving them two because I'll go, this was first, and this is what your actual portrait is, but they're both part of your story. And
Oh,
so I have to
wow.
really trust myself, honestly, like trust God, right? Because if I get in my own head, then I would go, that's not right. I'm just going to throw this away. And then I wouldn't have had the conversation with someone, which ended up being helpful to them. So I think sometimes it's about having the awareness enough to know whether you think you're in charge or whether you're making way for something bigger than you to be a part of your experience, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah, totally makes sense. So, last question on the spirit. There's two others. I'm sorry. I'm just so pumped about this topic. So, the first one is how do you know, right? Like, I'm an overachiever, and a lot of the women listening, we're overachievers. So I write chapters in books. I'm an author and a podcaster and a coach. But when I write, I can overdo it. And so how do you know when you're done with the portrait?
I was just listening to a podcast this morning about that, about an artist knowing when they're done. And I think they referenced, like, it was like Da Vinci or something, like the hands on a sculpture. Because if you overwork the hands, you're going to break them because there's only so far you can go. And so I was listening to that going, that's so interesting to me, because I think a lot of artists will look at their work and think it's never done. And so for me, I experience the same thing. I'll look at a painting and I'll just ask, are you done? Or is there more? And oftentimes, if I'm asking that, it's done. Because if I try to work it anymore, then I end up ruining it or taking something really great out of it. There were times just recently, like 2 weeks ago, I was working on a painting and I was trying like the devil to get it to look a certain way, and it was coming out awful. And I just thought, is this done? Or should I just stop? What's happening? And I said, just do it the way you want to do it. Don't worry about how you think you want it to look, because you want someone else to like it. Just do it the way you want to do it. And it was like something happened and I pivoted and I just listened to what my hand intuitively wanted to do, or how the brush intuitively wanted to move. And then I looked back and went, oh my gosh, I love this. It went from being something awful
Wow.
that I'm trying to control to something that I looked at and went, oh, that felt so good. So I got out of the way.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the learning there for everybody is surrender. And I am not an expert in this area. I always try to control things. Like, I'm a recovering perfectionist and a people pleaser and all those things, right? And so the bottom line for all of those things, and I'm there with you all that are listening, is control. We want an element of control. But what I'm hearing from you, Heather, is that we have to get out of our own way to allow that greatness or that creativity or whatever to flow through.
I could not have said it better. I think that's exactly right. Definitely a recovering people pleaser here. And so there's this aspect of wanting to make art that I want people to like or accept. And then there's this other aspect of trying to make the art that just wants to come out, that just wants to be there, whether or not it's liked by anyone. It just has to be. There's a big aspect of surrender in my work where I have to, again, get out of my own way, because if I try to control what it looks like, it never turns out and it just doesn't feel authentic to me. And my good friend Amy always says to me, I can tell when you're connected. I can tell when you're plugged in, because that work is just, oh, it's so good. And then other pieces of yours, I'm like, oh, girl was trying to control it.
Oh, well, that's interesting that she can even tell when you're like connected to source and when you're not, or when you're trying to control it or strong arm it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
She can see it.
Okay. So my last question on the spirit portrait is, do you have to get them redone, right? So if you're attracted to a new color, right, is that time to come in and see you again? Is it like after a big life change? Hey, I'm going to get a spirit portrait done by you, right? So let's say it's 2024. Mm-hmm. Is it a couple of years from there, or is it at life change, like I said? When is a time to do it again?
That's a great question. I've had a couple people come back and do at least two a year, where they're like, this is a snapshot of where I am today. It's like a moment in time for what I see. Your aura colors don't change that often, but the color that I see around you, again, it shows me where you dwell. So if you're dwelling in your heart right now, you might be dwelling in your sacral chakra, which is like the orangey colors, 2 months from now, if you're working on a creative endeavor. So it's very possible that it can change. And I think that it really does depend on whether you are noticing colors coming into your life or going, wait, I just painted my whole house blue. What does this mean for me?
Everything in my house is blue, everybody, or everything is teal or turquoise. Like, well, I got to go talk to Heather about that.
That's one of the things I like doing for people too. They'll say like, all right, I'm trying to manifest love in my life. What can I do? And I'll go, okay, what color is your bedroom? And they're like, it's orange. And I'm like, okay, we got to get orange out of there. We got to bring pink in. We got to bring the love colors in and try to find different ways to incorporate colors so that you're being more intentional with it. And it's fun to help people with that when they start to dabble in color meaning and how to use it in positive ways.
Okay. So I do have a question on that. So with the color, I know we've talked a lot about the spirit portrait. So when we use this color, you tell us, okay, here's your prescriptive colors. This is the color I've seen for you. And I'm not trying to give you other jobs that you may not have. So like interior design, like our fashion and what we wear and all that. There are consultants for this, obviously. There are interior designers and there are fashion consultants and fashion stylists. Does it go into all of those realms where you're like, okay, no, I'm the box of the artwork? Or do you actually, when you have your coaching sessions, do you also talk about what they're wearing and what they have in their homes or their offices or how they adorn themselves? Does it go to those areas as well?
It does. Absolutely. It is interesting to see when I talk to somebody and they suddenly have that light bulb moment and I'll say, this color came in for you and this color means this. They'll say, oh, I used to have whatever this color. And so we'll talk about what color do you have in your office or what color do you have in your home? And I also really like to look at trends that are happening in our world. We really have shifted away from color in our babies' nurseries and their toys and their clothes. Everything's kind of become this neutral. It's all about the minimalist neutral color. And so I like to watch what's happening with color from a global perspective, because I think that kind of says a lot about our collective like consciousness and where we all are. So yeah, we talk a lot about that in different aspects of people's lives and how they're seeing color work for them.
So just out of curiosity, not to get us too far off the path, but what does that mean? So like baby stuff, like there's someone in my team, his wife, and I'm sending him all of the good vibes. His wife's about to have a baby. I think it's tomorrow or the next day, right? As I'm recording
my
this. So it's coming
too.
Up really soon. So let's send all the good positive energy to the mamas
sure.
that are ready to give birth and any of the pregnant mamas out there. What's going on with the color, the neutrality? What do you think or interpret that to mean in our collective consciousness and like why we're going to more neutral color?
I think it is. So to me, it's like a removal of color. And I think color is intended to help us with like being able to be the fullest expressions of ourselves. And so when I look at like the removal of color or the neutrality of color, I go, what colors, what does, if it's like a neutral khaki color where brown or red sort of supports our sense of strength and stability and security, if you take that out, then we're feeling less secure. We're feeling less stable. Or if it's like a soft baby pink that has been removed and it's more of a, like a neutral kind of pink or like a, I don't want to say bland pink, but like a soft rose pink.
Yes.
And I'll think, okay, then are we taking out that sense of collective love for each other?
Interesting.
What are we stripping away? A couple of years ago, cars started to come out in these really flat colors. And if you remember, like certain car brands had these really flat khaki, flat gray.
Like a flat gray has been everywhere in my area.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so interesting. We lost kind of the sparkle there. We lost some of the things that kind of made them shine and feel very vibrant. And so I was like, okay, gray is about lack. So we're feeling a lack of something in our lives, or we're taking that color out of there. We're taking the sparkle out of there. Huh. Are we languishing? Or does that mean that we're letting go, or we're losing some of the effervescence for life? We're not feeling as inspired by living anymore.
I mean, negative, but let's be honest, last few years, probably, right? I mean, let's be honest that it's been hard. It's been difficult. And I think I'm full faith that we will get back to a new normal, but it's been difficult. So I think that's a fair estimation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's funny. It's been interesting to watch like the Pantone color of the year over the last couple of years and how that I think has been impacted by what our world has gone through with the pandemic and all kinds of different things. It's fascinating when you really look at it and go, what does that color mean? One of our colors of the year was gray. And again, gray is like about a neutral space, but it's also about a lack. So I thought that was interesting that we were sitting in lack with our color that year.
Oh, that's super interesting. That is very interesting. So and that was a question I was going to have is what is the color? So beyond gray, are there any other colors that you're feeling or seeing for the collective? And this is a big question. And if you don't, we'll go with gray. But is there a color you're seeing or feeling for our world or where we are right now beyond gray?
I've been working a lot in blue lately. And so blue for me is definitely about this one, blue is a color of peace. It's for a call for peace. I think that blue is offering us an opportunity to express ourselves, but to find communication and communion with each other. I also see like a darker blue, which is about our intuition and finding stillness to go inside and ask for guidance and to ask for help and support. And blue is also about the vastness of the sky and the ocean. And so I think it's really about being able to see the big picture about what's happening in our world and how we can help each other versus being in contention with each other. And just trying to find this place of peace and calm, I think is where blue is coming through very strongly for me in my work lately.
I like that. I think that's appropriate as well. Speaking of healing, and I say everybody go to Heather's website, we'll get put that in the show notes and we'll mention it here at the end. But do you have a healing story from Spirit Portraits or from your work with a particular woman that strikes you where you're like, oh, I'd really like to share this healing story?
I have to go back to this one I've told before, but it, I think, feels the most powerful to me. One, because it happened at the start for when I just started creating these portraits for people. And I was working in my garage at the time, and I had taken the day off of work to paint. And I was just letting loose, trying to really connect my intuition and work on a piece. And I mentioned earlier, I was like letting out steam a little bit at a time. And I was experiencing these like emotional releases too, because I think that I had been like dampening down my gift, my spirituality, my creative essence. And so I was letting that out a little bit, and I was working on a painting, and I poured the colors out on the canvas, and they were like a light orange, a light blue, and a white. And as I painted them for her, I just started to cry. And I just thought, oh my gosh, there's something in here for her about healing the sacral chakra, which is about our connection to our creativity. It's about our sexuality. It's about relationships. The blue is about speaking about it. The white is about spirit. And so I was just playing in the space. And then she pulled up in front of my garage and she got out of the car and she goes, I don't know why, but the whole time I was driving over here, I was just crying. And she came into the garage and I said, this is your painting. And the instant that she looked at it, she just started to cry even more. And she's like, I know exactly what that's about. And so we talked a little bit about the colors and what they meant for her. And so we joke, she's a good friend of mine, but we call her the largest private collector in America because she's like a big supporter of my work. And she's got a lot of my paintings in her home. But she just really felt like, I think she felt seen in the painting. And I think she felt like there was permission to talk about where the pain was, and then to be able to create space for healing, to allow the painting and the conversation to help her heal. And she's in a much different place now. And it's fun to watch her colors kind of shift over time too, and how she's changed her whole interior. She's gone from a home that had a lot of red furniture to a home that has a lot of light blue and light gold and yellow in it. Wow. And so she's shifted her whole energy too, which has been just fascinating to watch.
And as a result, has she become different, like as a person, or how she like leads her life? Has she also had changes internally and in how she walks and talks and all that kind of stuff?
For sure. And I cannot take 100% credit for that at all, because she's part of my spiritual community. And
okay.
And so she's done her own work and has done a lot with our teacher and all of that too. But she's somebody who she was never much of a hugger. She'd always wear like a scarf around her throat. She was just protecting herself and not wanting to be open. And now she's like the world's best hugger, and she's very open, and she's one of my favorite people.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
she's
awesome.
Changed a lot.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so awesome. So let's dive into, you have something called the Color Club. So what is it and what do you do in this group?
Yeah. The Color Club is a group that I have on Facebook. It's a free community, and it's a place where I wanted people to be able to come and see my work and to be able to talk about it. But one of the things that I like to do with the Color Club is ask them each week, what's their one word intention for the week ahead? Cool. And so they'll share with me, my word is gratitude, or my word is compassion, or my word is productivity, or what have you. And I will comment on their post to tell them what color will be the most supportive for them that week, so that they can use it in their clothes or in their food or in their whatever it is that they want to do to invite that color in to help them achieve whatever intention they have. And so I like just to share tidbits with them about different things that are happening in the world and all around color.
That is really cool. Okay. And it's on Facebook, and they can just look up the Color Club, and we'll link it, and then they can just join.
Yep. happy to have them.
Okay, that's awesome. So wrapping us up here, there might be women going, because we, Heather, talk about interviewing and negotiation and all these heavy topics. And today we're talking about color. So if you had to say to women that might be wondering, like, why is this important for my career? Why is this important for my life? What would be that summary statement you would tell women around the work you do?
Yeah, I think we are drawn to color intuitively without always knowing what it means for us. And there are times where we can use color to help us feel more confident or more courageous, or even just to invite different aspects of whatever that energy is that you're trying to convey. So if you find yourself needing to have a really difficult conversation with somebody, you may want to wear blue that day, because blue is going to help support your throat. And it's also going to communicate to the person that you're somebody that they can trust, and that you are supportive of them, and that they're able to be themselves with you. And so there are little different things, like color has psychological, emotional, spiritual components to it, that if you are able to tune into what it means for you, you can start to work with it in really powerful ways in your branding, in your outfits, in what you put in your office, everywhere you go.
Oh, that's awesome. So what do you believe are 1 to 2 ways that women can be braver at work today?
Oh my gosh. I think there's this quote that I really love, and I can't remember who said it, but it was something like, if every woman today told the truth about their lives, the world would split open. And
yep. Yeah.
I think about that a lot, because I think that when I worked in HR, I let my representative go to work for me every day. I put on a face. Yep. That's a Glennon Doyle reference. She's written some really wonderful books. And one of the references she has is sending your representative in for you, which is when you're not actually being yourself. You're putting on a mask and sending that person out to show up for you. And I think if we can try to be more authentic and let the boundaries of our lives filter in and let people know a little bit more about who we are, then they have more context about you. And I think it just makes for a more authentic and open dialogue with people, just to try to find ways to be more honest and vulnerable and courageous.
I love that. Yeah, no, I love that. And I'm going to have to go back to Glennon Doyle. We have not referenced her in the show, but she's got amazing books. What is the last one she just wrote that was awesome?
Untamed.
Yes, and Untamed, everybody. And some people love it. Some people don't love it. It's got an absolutely beautiful, colorful cover. I'm sure, Heather, you love that cover.
I really do.
I was going to say, I was like, you must love that cover. But it's a great book too. And it's helped so many women, like, crack their lives open and be really more honest. So I think it goes right in line with what you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. So how can women find you and your work online if they're interested in getting a spirit portrait or just diving into the color club?
Awesome. They can find me at heathereck.com/thank you. I have a special code on there for listeners of your podcast to save 25% off a spirit portrait if they're interested in that.
Nice.
Absolutely. And I've got some freebies on there. Every month I send out a free digital calendar of a new print that I've done. The color club is on there. And then a free color and chakra guide is all at heathereck.com/thank you. And you can find me on Instagram at heathereck. Artist.
Heather, this has been so fun. Like, I am so pumped, and I hope that we stay connected, because I'm going to keep following you, because I know you're going to be continuing to do great things in the world and healing us with color. So thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor to connect with you today.
Well, that's a wrap on my discussion with Heather today. I hope you found our conversation both valuable and inspiring. As a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast in Apple Podcasts and Spotify. The show is also available on any other podcast platform you enjoy. Until next time, show up, heal with color, and be brave.